previous callers say, you know, some of the Saban disrespect that's been happening. Some folks just saying, listen, they can't get it done. It's not going to be there. What's the issue, though? Because Greg just went through the roster, some of the veterans that are going to be playing there. Yeah, quarterback's the big one. But I'm just for fun, just hypothetically, why is Georgia just fine with Carson Beck, but Alabama's in a lot of trouble with Ty Simpson or Jalen Milroe?
But Georgia.
I haven't seen.
Oh, really? That's what we got. I mean, they've gotten to that point?
Have we seen a lot of? Have we seen a ton of Carson Beck? But, like, he looked great in the Georgia spring game, but once again, spring game can be a very controlled environment. You can make that
there's
exactly what you want that
though.
To be. It,
there's this
unless
pretty
you want a quarterback to build confidence.
Wow, conspiracy theorist.
Just throwing it
talking
out
about UFOs in the break, and now you're talking about Georgia.
Is that Brian Witt?
What does that tell
what
you?
What does that tell us?
What should we know?
All I'm saying is there are certain programs. And listen, Alabama has benefited from this. There have been certain points in time. Like when Mac Jones was taking over, nobody worried about it. Even though he threw two pick sixes in a rivalry game and lost, people still said, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And guess what? It was fine. There have been other – Jay Coker comes in. People forget, Jay Coker didn't light it up in Florida State. He didn't throw for 5,000 yards.
Nope.
We didn't see a ton of him. Came in and it was fine.
Well, it wasn't in 14. He got beat out. Remember, that was kind of a weird deal. Like, got beat out by Sims. Sims looked awful in the spring game. And then he ended up having a very, very good season. 15, Coker, not so great first couple games. Bateman actually gets the start against Ole Miss, and then Coker comes in and plays better down the stretch. You know, I mean, it's just, there have been examples, sure. Yeah, like there have been examples of unnecessary hype, but there's also, I think, revisionist history too. Like, people remember things differently than it was. Jalen's starts in 2017 were terrible. I mean, Jalen had a bad year in 17. You can tell me and point the stats and all that stuff. The guy wouldn't pull the trigger, which is ultimately why Tua went in the national championship game and lit it up. I mean, there's, you know, so I think there is a little bit of revisionist history, but you're 100% right. Like, there's no guarantees at quarterback. Heck no, there's absolutely not. But there have been fewer liabilities at Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State than there have been at other places.
Of course.
There's no Sean White teeing it up for those programs. No disrespect.
Another elbow off the top rope.
Attaboy, it's about time.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not. No, it's a fact.
So maybe the counter to this is where some people do have concerns. As you stated, there will be a lot of veterans back, a lot of guys been around the program for a while. It would be in the production that is lost. Total production returning, 40% of it on offense. It's 125th in college football. 38% on defense, 127th in college football. That could be something to be concerned about. But it's also a lot generated on a couple guys. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs was a ton of production for Alabama last year. He had over 400 receiving, over 900 rushing. He accounted for a lot. Bryce Young accounted for a lot. So you take those two guys out of the mix, that's a massive portion of the production that's gone. People are going to be concerned about that. You still have your top two receivers going to be back. You lose Cam Latu, okay? You lost a couple other guys that had a couple catches for some yards, but that led the team, anything of that nature. So maybe it's the production gone, G-Mac, as opposed to just the amount of individuals that are going to be gone that have people concerned about Alabama this year.
The Jahmyr Gibbs hole is a big one. There's no doubt. He did so much. I do think that maybe, and look, you could tell me all day long that Justice Haynes is going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't know that. I think I'm cautiously optimistic that he's going to be great. But he's also a freshman. Like, I know that Trent Richardson, it took him like 6-7 games to kind of figure it out. When he was a true freshman back in 2009. I mean, he was actually the third back for us in 2009 when Roy Upchurch was actually ahead of him on the depth chart. Mark Ingram was one, Roy Upchurch was two, Trent was three, and really didn't hardly play against quality competition in the first month of the season. So I do think running back is a bit of a question mark. Everyone seems to think, well, Jace McClellan, Roydell, all those guys are going to be fine. I do think that that is a position that I am the tiniest bit concerned about. Last year it was wide receiver. This year it's running back more so than it is wide receiver.
And I guess one of the reasons that I wouldn't be as concerned about Gibbs is I don't feel like Tommy's going to design his offense to utilize the backs out of the backfield as much or need a receiver like that out of the backfield as much. Now, it's not that Jahmyr Gibbs still didn't bring an elite running presence when being handed the football, because he did, obviously. I just think collectively you have enough that it's going to be able to be figured out, especially if the offensive line does take a step, which we kind of think that it will. But I think the competition there at tailback is going to be massive also. It's going to help because you got a lot of guys that are pushing for carries, and only so many of them can get it. There's not a lot of competition, though, for Gusty Gulis and the Gusty Gulis Group. Brokered by eXp Realty, right here in Birmingham, Alabama, recognized both nationally and locally as Greater Birmingham, Alabama's number one team in homes sold. You can trust Gusty's aggressive and proven selling system. He's got what it takes to attract hundreds of qualified buyers who are going to want your home, because the Gusty Gulis Group serves more than 3,000 home buyers and sellers right here in the greater Birmingham area. That's why with any real estate need you might have, GMAC, it has to be Gusty Gulis and the Gusty Gulis Group.
Just check out the reviews. There are so many of them, over 800 five-star Google reviews by Googling Gusty Gulis Group. Glenda, Austin, Brian, everybody coming out of the woodwork saying, quote, Gusty is the only agent I would trust if I had to do it all over again, end quote. Those are the type of reviews you're going to get when you Google Gusty Gulis Group, or you can go straight to a site, GustyGulisGroup.com. That's GustyGulisGroup.com, and start packing.
All right, let's go to Chris in Calera, wants to chime in on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome in, Chris.
Hey, guys. One thing that's always amazed me about Nick Saban is the way he can ebb and flow between coordinators and his current roster. You look back, Greg, when you took the reins, we were defense heavy, the field position, you took your shots, you obviously used Julio well, we ran the ball effectively, and we played field position extremely well. As we've transitioned to Tua, Bryce, we've changed into an offensive team, and we've played more soft defense. I think hiring Kevin Steele is setting a tone, a precedent of toughness. Hopefully we get back to being a tougher defense. I think offensively we're going to be pretty conservative. I think we're going to win by slimmer margins. And it's going to be, can we execute on special teams? Can we win field position? Can we score in the red zone when we get there? And I don't think we're going to put up the points that we're used to, but hopefully we get back to a early Nick Saban era type defense, and we win. I kind of see we'll be like Georgia with Stetson's first year, where Stetson didn't do a whole lot to get him beat. He had a couple games late that he did win for him, but they were very conservative with Stetson. I think we'll be similar to that. What do y'all think?
I think it could be in the beginning, but also keep in mind Stetson became a legitimate playmaker for that Georgia offense. Now, they had a lot of playmakers around him, but when they asked him to run the football or when he needed to escape, he could do it. And he made a lot of big throws down the field. Doesn't get enough credit for that, in my opinion. That doesn't mean that there were some easy throws, high percentage throws to Brock Bowers or some quick throws to McIntosh that turned into big plays, but he also made some massive plays and became a playmaker inside that offense. At least that's the way that I kind of viewed it. So I think that that's something that we don't know if one of these Alabama quarterbacks is going to turn into that. But if that offensive line, GMAC, does take a step, which a lot of us believe that it can, you know, Latham's played a lot of football. Tyler Booker, I think, has a chance to be a star, one of the better guards in the SEC, maybe in the country. You've got two centers that have played a ton of football. You can manage that however you want. I think that if Caden Proctor comes in and helps one way or the other, whether he starts right out of the gate, starts later, gives you depth, is a swing tackle, either way, I think he can help that offensive line, will help that offensive line. You got some good numbers, and you've got the kind of guys that we're talking about. You got guys that have a little bit more nasty, a little bit of a mean streak, and that's been needed inside that offensive line room for a while.
I think when you build the offense around the quarterback or you build the team around the quarterback, you're soft. They've progressively been moving in that direction for a number of years. I'm not saying that. Just look around college football. When the quarterback is the most important player on the team, you are normally soft. Michigan's not soft. Georgia's not soft. Would anyone else care to Is how's the Oklahoma teams that Lincoln Riley coached? How was the USC team last year?
99.9% of Wisconsin teams ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the only Wisconsin teams I think where the quarterback was the most important player would be Russ Wilson. I mean, I don't know another one, really.
Well, even he wasn't the most important player. Because I think they had Moneyball. So if you build the team around the quarterback, Texas for years, Oklahoma for years, you build the team around the quarterback, you are soft. I'm sorry. I love my position. I think it's the hardest position to play.
Oh, we know.
I think it's a great position. I think it's a fun position. Everybody wants to be the quarterback. It's fun. There's no doubt it's fun. But guess what? If he's your tone setter, look out. And that's what Bama's become the last handful of years.
But it's so amazing to hear you say that because there is a large portion of it that makes perfect sense. Yet everybody falls victim of if you don't have an elite quarterback, you can't win. Everyone.
Well, everybody still thinks Stetson stinks.
Don't know what else to show you.
Everybody thinks that. Like, was Jay Coker an elite quarterback?
No.
No.
No. Never even made it to, he didn't even make it to training camp in the NFL. Not even to training camp. He made it to rookie minicamp. So, like, he won a championship. Why? Because he knew his place within the offense.
I would love to ask a random fan right now, how many yards do you think Stetson Bennett passed for last year? Damien? Just off the top of your head.
Like, I'm going to say 3,200.
41-27,
good
bro.
God.
Sixth in college football.
It's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, kid from Western Kentucky, kid from Washington, kid from USC, kid from North Carolina, and a kid from Georgia Southern that threw for more than he did.
Wow.
At least two air raid.
You love Kyle Van
Three air raid quarterbacks ahead of him.
About to say, Kyle Van Trees, they threw it 700 times.
Three air raids and a, what do we want to call
it? He also played 15 games.
Run now.
He also played 15 games.
All right.
You get an extra game.
The guy who was first in the country played 14. The guy who was third played 14. And the guy who was fourth played 14. So, yeah, he had an extra game. But, I mean, he still threw for a lot more yards than a lot of other guys. 27 touchdowns and 7 picks.
It's a good year for sure.
Completed 68% of his passes. 68.
But when you think about
the kid that won the Heisman completed 66.
When you think about
against a lot less talent on defense, by the way.
That is a fact.
When you think about Georgia, though, how were they built? Last couple of years.
You're 100% accurate.
Tight end.
100%. Nobody. But I just go back to about, hey, man, you know, Stetson Bennett.
What was the tune around the ACC last year? Right now, at this very moment, 365 days ago. Oh, boy, look at all those quarterbacks. Right now, Pac-12. Oh, man, they got some quarterbacks. We're not even confident they get a team in the playoffs.
That's a fact.
And they have multiple first round quarterbacks in that league. All I'm saying is it's wild when you say it because it makes perfect sense.
It is
yet,
true.
No one will buy into that. No one buys it because everyone says you got to have Drake May to win a national title.
Because everybody needs all people care about in the world that we live in now are highlight reels and flashiness. Like it's like nobody wants the meat and potatoes. Everybody wants that sizzle, baby. You saw the guys that went viral on TikTok the other day. Went and bought the 1942 at the club. Had the streamers, 1942, baller alert. Bah! And then guess what? They put their credit card out and then got declined. And they came and took the 1942 away.
My TikTok just didn't scroll on that part.
It popped up on mine.
I'm not up on the talk.
I don't have a TikTok, but it popped up on my Twitter and it made me chuckle. Because everybody's about the sizzle. Nobody's about the steak, man. And that's fine. Guess what? You can have the sizzle. Sizzle don't win games.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't win games. It doesn't. It's great to score a lot of points. It's great to pad the stats. It's great to have all those things. But if you want to bring that sizzle into a schoolyard brawl, it ain't going to work out well for you. It's just not.
Would 2019 LSU be a little bit of an exception to this? And if so, why?
Because 2019 LSU had so much sizzle that now everybody thinks that that's the gold standard. Dude, they had two.
They had multiple guys drafted in their front seven. They had two guys drafted off their offensive line.
Joe Moore award-winning offensive line.
Yep.
Probably the worst Joe Moore award-winning offensive line ever. Not. Yeah, they were.
They had a tight end who was basically an extension of that group.
They couldn't run the ball.
Didn't try to run the ball.
Why would you?
Why would you?
How about just start with this? Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
Start with that.
Most important position.
Start there.
Not saying that you shouldn't have taken advantage of that, but it doesn't feel like they feel like an exception to what you're discussing. And maybe part of that is because the quarterback wasn't soft himself. Just be real. He wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, he's a,
by the way,
he's a butt, no doubt.
Couldn't run the ball. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 215 for 1,414 yards and 16 rushing touchdowns.
Well, if you spread them out like that, like they just had too many weapons.
You said they couldn't run it. They ran
to 1,400. Like, wait a minute.
They had 2,502 yards rushing as a team.
How many of those were draws?
Well, Burrow had 368, so at least 370 of them.
I'd take the over. All right. And then Clyde Edwards had plenty of
Ty Davis Price and John Emery Jr. had a combined 10 rushing touchdowns. I don't even remember them touching the ball that year.
No, they were legit. But everybody just talks about the sizzle, man. No one wants the sizzle. Like, that was a meat and potatoes team in a lot of ways. Like, they took plenty of shots underneath, but when you think back to them, all you think about are those big shots downfield. They dinked and dunked all underneath. They carved you up. They worked the middle of the field. Like, they did all that stuff. They took 6-7 yard completions. No one remembers those things.
No, we don't.
And honestly, like, for as much as I love Bryce Young, I love him. I do. He was always trying to create the big play. I think that, at times, put a lot of strain on his offensive line. And that, at times, led to an inefficient, at times, offensive set. Like, I'd rather play 2nd and 6 and just take the completion without having my offensive line block for 9 seconds.
Well, and to kind of counter that, too, on the other side of the ball, you think about, I mean, Caleb on Chaisson. He was a really good edge rusher. Patrick Queen, Jacoby Stevens drafted. Neil Farrell came on a little bit more the next year. Rashard Lawrence, those are hard hat, kind of dirty work guys inside. Brennan Fajoco did a lot of that inside. Damone Clark, really good linebacker. They had guys that, you know, Glenn Logan was on that defensive line. They weren't that on the other side of the ball.
They were good.
And by the way, they had a corner that nobody would throw the ball at. Like, literally would not throw the ball at.
Yeah, as a freshman.
So, I mean, it's
you had a corner that was a monster, and that was the year the safety. Remind me his name,
Grant Delpit.
Delpit had a good year that year. Now he started reading his press clippings and became very average very quickly, but he had a good year that year. Speaking of the corner, kind of read his press clippings after that year too. Do we ever see him again?
Well, he made some business decisions.
Worked out.
There was a Heisman Trophy winner that also added to those business decisions as well.
It's fair. Well, I'll still go back to everybody who wants to highlight reel that. If you go watch him, he is actually in phase.
Yeah.
It's just the guy making the catches was that good. I mean, it's not exactly. Like, you know, he was 7 yards behind him or anything. Unlike Backyard Adventures, they're never behind. They're always ahead. You can go to Cahaba Valley Road right now, check out what they have in stock because it's already built. It's already constructed right there on their lot so your kids can play on it, jump, climb, swing, slide. You decide what you want. Jeff and the guys can customize it. Why? Well, because they're the number one retailer of backyard adventure playgrounds in the world. They're just that good. They give you that great service. They give you the great quality work. They're going to come and assemble the playground in your backyard. We've got one in my backyard. Love it. We're out there on it last night. We're out there almost every night because the kids love being outside. We like getting away from the screens. It's fantastic. But not just playgrounds, GMAC, that they can help you with.
You might not be able to accommodate a playground. I couldn't. So when I went and talked to Jeff and the guys, they said, why don't you try a basketball goal? Said, perfect. Let's do it. We have installed it, and it's been a huge hit. We are so grateful to Jeff and the guys for taking care of us, and we know they'll take great care of you as well. Regardless of what you can accommodate, just ask them. They'll make a recommendation, and I know that recommendation will be perfect because they are the pros. They know what kids and families are going to want. They know what kids and families are going to use. Go see them off Cahaba Valley Road, or you can go online at backyardalabama.com.
All right, when we come back, Dennis Dodd was at the spring meetings down in Destin. We'll get his thoughts on that. Maybe talk a little Alabama next, right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. I'm going to welcome in Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. He's joining us on the Bud Light Hotline now. Was down in Destin for the SEC spring meetings. And Dennis, I'm just anxious to kind of get what you took away from, I guess more so behind the scenes, the chatter, the discussion of, you know, will we go to 9? Will we stay at 8? Because it felt like about 2 weeks before the spring meetings, it was definitely going to be 9. Then we begin to hear a little bit more staying at 8. And I felt like Monday, Tuesday, it was pretty definitive. That thing was not going to go to 9. Take us through what you were hearing leading up and then how quickly it changed.
I thought a definitive moment. This whole thing has been overwrought from the beginning. But I thought there was a big moment when Greg Byrne kind of held court in a meeting space, and talked about, will Alabama get credit for scheduling all these teams that they have and playing them? And that, to me, kind of defined where Alabama's change was at. We knew Nick was upset at having to play, what was it, LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn in the permanent rivals. But that explained it further. I'm not giving credence to it, because I think Alabama is going to get a fair shake no matter what in any year. But that was their thinking in going from 9 to 8, whether that rubbed off on people. I think the 5, I had written the 5 and I can't remember them offhand now, but Georgia, Florida, I'm trying to remember the other 3 off the top, but they, you know, considering that Texas and Oklahoma are kind of on record as supporting 9, and they will have no vote, by the way, before this is decided next July 1st. They're going to have to flip about 3 votes. You know, I don't know if they can do it.
But how did this ultimately come down, you think? Because it does feel like the SEC has always, look, they've been praised for a long time, having great quality, high-level football. But now they almost gave the naysayers an extra bullet, if you will, by playing 9. They could have just put the conversation to bed, and yet they didn't. So why do you think that was?
Yeah, I was tempted to write a column about that. Like, okay, this is the league's toughest conference. Well, how tough are they when they did this? You know what I'm saying? And others did. So I'm not saying that wasn't written. But, you know, Sam Pittman at least sized up the 8 argument for me, in that, you know, he said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Georgia's won the last 2, Alabama before that. And then it occurred to me, LSU before that. So if 8 worked then, it should now. But we're entering a new era, expanded playoff, access, money. Money's a big part of this. For right now, the SEC's not getting paid for a 9th game. I kind of think that's going to change. I asked Greg Sankey that last Monday in a little get together with reporters. I said, Greg, as we sit here right now, almost 2 years since the day news broke that Texas and OU have come into the league, your league hasn't gotten 1 dime more. Now, Texas and Oklahoma got a boost. They got pro rata, but the league hasn't. At least right now. And he kind of pushed back and said, check our tax returns in January 2026. which tells me they're going to get something for more. It's the SEC, but it just isn't there right now. It might be as simple as ESPN just, you know, maybe getting over this rough patch with the layoffs. It could be as simple as that.
Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. He was down at SEC spring meetings. It's interesting, Dennis. You feel you lack more confidence than I do of this actually going to nine, and obviously the financial ramifications could be a big part of that. I don't think there's any chance they don't go to nine. Why do you lack so much confidence that there's a potential that the SEC does get there?
No, I think that – no, maybe I'm not being clear. I think they'll get there eventually. Like I said, I think ESPN is keeping its powder dry for – the NBA, I think they're keeping their powder dry for the CFP. That's a significant initiative to get at least all or part of that and expansion those rights. I think the USC is in there somewhere, but I think they need to let things maybe, you know, dry out a little bit or handle out a little bit, these layoffs and everything. I think they'll get there. That's why the SEC only did it for, at least right now, 1 year. It's kind of all right, we're not settled, you know, we don't agree. I think one of the things we haven't talked about is Greg Sankey, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, at least to my way of thinking, indicated he wanted nine. I think he spent a lot of time trying to convince schools, didn't get there, but I think eventually they will.
When you look at the new look SEC, obviously, with the addition of Texas and the addition of Oklahoma, we don't want to get too far down the beaten path because we're still a year away. But I'm cautiously optimistic already with those two teams in a divisionless SEC. I'm cautiously optimistic they can compete day one. Now, will they ultimately win the league? I'm not 100% convinced. But if you would have asked me, Dennis, 2 years ago, how will Oklahoma and Texas fare when they get into the SEC, I would have said it's going to be ugly. They're going to struggle, and they might not get to seven wins in those first few seasons. Now I'm starting to change my tune a little bit. I think both teams have the arrow pointing up as they enter the league with a little bit of momentum. So which team do you think has more of a chance to be competitive early when they get into the league in 2024?
Yeah, my opinion on that hasn't changed much since July 21st, 2021, when the news broke. OU and Texas go from being the big dogs in the Big 12, at least initially, to being maybe the fourth and fifth best, you know, programs in that league. And maybe I'm being charitable right now, to the point that, you know, I wasn't in the league meetings, but, you know, you guys sit up against the wall. You know, we can handle this in terms of football strength. Now, Brent Venables has a plan. He showed me his binder. It's about 4 inches thick. The complete SEC transition plan. Steve Sarkisian has told me, to nobody's surprise in general, they've got to get bigger bodies in the line. He has a plan, but Texas hasn't won a division title in the Big 12 since 2009. What are they going to do in the SEC? Now, all that has to be couched with, it's going to be easier to get into the playoffs. The SEC may be the only league that gets a team in at 9-3. So the playoff is coming to meet them. They've got, you know, along with the Big Ten, the biggest, best brands out there. But I think it's going to be somewhat of a struggle. If we're talking about winning championships in the SEC, the price of poker has just gone up, and we'll have to see how they react.
It is going to be interesting. Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports with us on the Bud Light Hotline. I know this isn't something you really reported necessarily from the spring meetings, but I'm interested just kind of what some of the actual football chatter was down there, maybe between coaches, between some of the media members that you had a chance to bump into, talk to, because we've been having an extended conversation about Alabama today, and just there seems to be more and more people jumping on board with, like, this ain't it. This is not going to be a national championship, probably not going to be an SEC championship, 9 wins, maybe 10. Where are you on Alabama, and what were you hearing down in Destin about the Crimson Tide this upcoming season?
There wasn't much football talk, given what we just talked about. But amongst, you know, the peers, you know, we talked about a lot about football. I think clearly when the time comes, LSU is going to be favored to win the West by, you know, the media when SEC Media Days come around. Alabama's sort of in prove-it mode. God, the quarterback thing just is amazing to me. I'm trying to remember the last time they were in this situation. And you hear talk about how they took a run at Malik Murphy at Texas and all these other guys trying to bring him in. And, you know, Tyler Buchner, for all the world, looks like the guy they brought in to win the job. I don't know if this is right. But somebody pointed this out. Tyler Buchner has 2 career touchdown passes and maybe 4 career pick sixes. You know, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. But somebody pointed something like that out. That is tremendous.
But you got to look at the positives. You got to look at the positives. How many of his throws have ended up in the end zone, whether it be by the other team or by his team?
That's right.
You got to take that with you take the good and with the bad there.
That's right. In Alabama, before this happened, was going to run the ball more. We knew that. They're going to get back to a little bit of what they were. They have to. They don't have 4 verts on every down anymore. So it's going to be different. Georgia, I can make a compelling case, and a lot of people can, for the first ever three-peat. It's amazing. You know, starting with the schedule, you guys have talked about that a lot. The recruiting, everything else. I'll tease a story. I talked to Dylan Raiola's dad, who's a former Nebraska great, Tom Raiola, in person down in Arizona to get kind of an inside look at Georgia's recruiting. I'm going to write that in a bit. What do you get for $4.5 million, the biggest recruiting budget ever, maybe ever? And that was another thing that came out in Destin that I asked coaches about that. And Kirby and Billy Napier and some others, well, it's just a recruiting thing. It depends on if you own your own private planes or not. And I went, okay, just so we have this nailed down. That's where the difference comes from.
Pretty insane where it's gone. Dennis, we appreciate the time. Great stuff, as always, and definitely look forward to catching up with you again soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports joining us there on the Bud Light Hotline. Kind of going through some of the things that we have discussed about. I wanted to just wrap up SEC spring meetings, just kind of hear what he had heard in reference, of course, to 8 conference games, 9 conference games. I don't really care about the field swarming thing. I'm not sure a lot of other people do either, so no reason to spend a ton of time on
that.
I
like the idea that if you swarm the field against a team, the other team gets the money.
Right. You pay them.
I like that.
Well,
because last year,
I'm sure all the kids really care about that, too.
Well, like Bama had $50,000 worth of equipment damaged at the Tennessee game.
Oh, wow. Didn't know that.
Yeah, $50,000. So, I mean, between helmets and headsets stuff's going to break. You have 100,000 people storming the field. Like, stuff's going to break. I don't think anyone knowingly was like, I'm going to stomp on these headsets and crush them. Like, no, I mean, but you've seen those RF stuff down the sideline. That stuff's expensive equipment, and it got damaged last year to the point in which they had to replace like 32,000 in just 1 week, and then by the end of the year it was 50 because stuff had to be replaced after the year. So I like the idea that if you storm the field against the team that you beat gets the money, as opposed to it going into, you know, an end of the year pizza party, you know, over at the offices in Uptown. Like I love it.
Yeah, I just don't know if it. I don't know how much of a difference it makes.
It's not going to stop it, but right. at least you can replace the things that could have been damaged, right? Like, I can live with that.
No, it's fair. And some people are on a different side of it than I am. Like I was talking to Tom Hart yesterday, and he was asking about it because he was doing baseball, kind of wanted to recap, and he's like, I just think it's dumb. Like, it's not that big a deal. Like, why do we care? It's great. It's a tradition. It's celebrating. And I told him my stance on it. I was like, you realize that something really bad is going to happen. Like we have it, like our scope is locked in on it. We have it in sight. It's going to happen. And he's like, well, it hasn't happened in 30 something years. It's like, yeah, but people aren't doing as dumb a stuff as they were 30 something years ago for attention. And now they are.
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's going to happen. Somebody's going to run up to a guy and
tell me people didn't.
But then somebody else is filming him and he's going to try to prove a point and that guy's going to get knocked out and that guy might die. And then we're going to have the whole conversation about it. And then the school's going to get sued, and the league's going to get sued, and the president's going to get sued, and the coach is going to get sued. And it's then what? I mean, it's just, why not get out in front of that is my point. Why not get out in front of that?
Because I don't think there's anything you can do. There's literally nothing you can do. It's a train. It's like getting in front of a train. And as you know, it's hard to stop a train, okay? So it's
like we always say here on Jocks.
It's really important for everybody to know that. Yeah, the best. It can save you money on your on. I'm not even a trained endorser.
We already read it.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't stop it. It's coming down the tracks when the game is approaching zeros and a top two or three team is on the road about to lose to a team. It's coming. Like, you're not stopping 100,000 people. So unless you put out the Undertaker and you got 35 of them that are going to surround the dang Brock Lesnar, the Undertaker, the Miz, Rey Mysterio. I mean,
no John Cena.
No, John Cena's an actor now.
Okay.
Bautista still got it.
Yeah.
All right. And Ken Shamrock, you're literally not going to be able to stop these guys getting onto the field. So what's the point? Let's quit pretending like we can do something about it.
I mean, you saw what Tennessee fans did when Lane Kiffin came back to Knoxville. So
I did see
that. They didn't even storm the field. They couldn't even get to him.
And again, in that instance where Tennessee fans got mad at me for saying that I didn't like what was happening because I was standing on the Ole Miss sideline and I was watching individuals throw things at players and I was putting myself in their shoes thinking, what would 19-year-old me do if a vape pen was thrown by somebody I saw and it hit me or one of my teammates?
I think they call it the malice in the palace in Detroit.
Remember that Bruce Smith commercial? Back in the day, the Nike commercial, bad things, man.
Why is it always a vape pen with you?
Because I saw multiple vape pens being thrown on the field.
I saw mustard bottles.
I saw that. I saw water bottles.
A golf ball.
I saw, there are a lot of things. But I saw multiple vape pens being thrown. And again, can't trust it.
Can't trust it.
So we start there. Then we get hit by it. And guess what? I'm looking over there thinking, nobody's stopping me from getting to that guy.
Nope.
If I wanted to right now, I could get to him.
Now I got to go run our test on a brother.
And it would probably end very poorly for that dude. Especially if me and a couple of my teammates decided to go.
Right. He's a lineman.
I'm telling you what my line of sight was on the sideline. And when Tom asked me, what do you think about it? I said, if I was Lane Kiffin, I would take my team to the locker room right now. And that was the reason, because it wasn't that I thought somebody was going to die. It wasn't that I thought somebody was going to be hit by something and be hurt where they couldn't perform or play. It was that I saw the potential problem that could take place, because the easy access for the player to be able to get to a fan if they would have seen something being thrown. And you could see multiple people doing it. It was right there in front of you. That's why I said that. And, of course, thousands of Tennessee fans took that as, I hate them, and it's not safe down here, and I fear for my life, and oh my gosh, I'm scared, and we should all leave. Please get me protective gear. I need SWAT team. It's not what I said.
Kevlar.
But, people hear what they want to hear.
First of all, you're not going to go in the stands. Get out of here. Second of all, as a player, you have equipment to protect you. Look, we ran off the field against Ole Miss in 2007, and I think everybody would have failed a field sobriety test with how much whiskey was thrown onto us. Every single person.
Goodness gracious.
I've never seen so much whiskey thrown onto a football team, because you run right back in the day at Vaught Hemingway, you ran right past the student section. that's the visitor's entrance. So if you're looking at it from the 50-yard line in the booth right now, you're looking down, the visitor's tunnel is in the far right. The home tunnel with Chucky Mullins, everybody is in the bottom right. So you're running right out past the student section, and we got absolutely showered with Jim Beam. It was not a pleasant experience. I believe that was a Jefferson Pilot game, so it was early. Shouldn't be having whiskey at that time of day.
Grove.
It's disgusting. But
start early.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But Grove. We had a very fortuitous call at the end of the game that led to us ultimately winning the game against Hedo and the Fighting Rebels. And we got showered. But I never felt like any of our teammates were going to go up into the stands. Come on.
A little bit different.
Right.
You and your teammates running in and cups of liquid are hitting you.
Glass bottles. You're standing on the sideline. Miniatures.
Greg, when we got off the bus in Baton Rouge and when we went out and came in, it was mandated we have our helmets on.
That's wild.
I believe Dr. Goodlett, the next time they went, was knocked out by a bottle. Knocked out.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. I mean, but that's collective a lot at once. when you're just standing there on the sideline watching and it's coming left and right, and then you can make that decision to say, I saw that guy do it. Let's go. All I'm saying is it was a possibility. Not that I thought, or I'm not accusing any of those guys saying they were going to go, but I thought it was possible. That's what I was seeing down there. And I saw how some of the kids were reacting to it. Now, there were certain people that were egging some stuff on that probably shouldn't have been, but that's a story for another day.
Talk is cheap. I don't think anyone's going to the stands. You start chirping in the stands a little different. I ain't buying it.
You ain't buying it.
Well, no. Either way, that check's going to the other team now, and that is something that I'm sure the opposition is going to welcome. And that'll go in your bank. And we know banking's not just about your money. It's about getting what you need when you need it. AmFirst has made choosing a checking account simple with accounts loaded with features that can be customized to your needs. Thrive, mainline checking account with easy access you need, functionality you deserve, and great perks you're going to love. Then there's Level Up, the account designed to help teenagers learn to manage their money. You can get your debit card immediately with AmFirst. Start enjoying rewards, unlimited check writing, mobile banking, and bill pay. Remember, AmFirst, founded for members like you, and they've been putting those members first since 1936. Putting you first means services that grow and change with the times to serve you better. You can visit any AmFirst location or AmFirst.org for details. Rewards are earned for each purchase on your Visa debit card, whether you choose credit or debit. ATM surcharges may apply, subject to machine owners. Certain restrictions apply. America's First Federal Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA. All right, let's go back to our Alabama discussion because I don't think we've concluded that. We'll try to wrap it up next right here on McElroy and Kublik in the morning.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kublik in the morning. 800-239-9569. You want to get in and talk this Alabama football team that we spent some time discussing. Haven't really gone into the personnel just yet. And some people see it different. Some people think 9 wins is the ceiling for Alabama this year. Other folks don't think it's going to be that far off from what it has been recently. I do think that there are some folks that point to last year, GMAC, as to why it may be on the decline. And 11-2, both those losses on the road and two of the most difficult places in college football to play. Okay.
I mean, seriously. I think what people are most concerned about, though, if you're going to play devil's advocate, are the close wins. You know, which, by the way, last time I checked, a win's a win, whether it's by 1 or 100.
Well, if you're Nebraska, it's 3 wins. A close loss is 3 wins.
We're talking about Bama.
Close losses are different than close wins.
Talking about Bama.
So, to me, I mean, a win's a win. Like, last time I checked, if you get to the final buzzer and you're on top, that's a win. You don't need to apologize for it.
Don't care.
Doesn't matter. Got to win by 40. It's like,
what? I mean, I'll take it, but that's just me. Maybe I'm different than a lot of folks. But, you know, there were some games that probably, based on the two rosters, should not have gone the way that they did. But also, when you're making a guy's making his first start at quarterback, you expect things to be a little bit different. You know, when you got some other guys nicked up and banged up, you can understand why things were what they were against Texas A&M. I don't know, what would the other one be? Maybe Ole Miss? Was that tighter than it should have been? I never really felt like that one was in doubt. I mean, the Texas game was a Texas game. It was 11 a.m. on the road, 111, and
it's a close game.
Didn't play well.
Tough game.
And Texas played great.
And Texas is good. They're a good team.
Be good this year.
Yeah, it's not like they're a bad team. So they're not great, but they're not a bad team.
No. I don't know. I just see it different than a lot of folks do. That's why I wanted to have this conversation today. But I see clearly thanks to Michelson Laser Vision. Dr. Mark, Dr. Jennifer Michelson right there at UAB Highlands. They offer comfortable and convenient care for you. 20 years ago, I called 205-969-8100. You can also go to MichelsonLaserVision.com now. Find out more information. Find out if you're a candidate for the LASIK procedures. Not just LASIK, though. Nearsightedness, farsightedness, astigmatism, cataracts. But mainly, you can eliminate your dependence on glasses and contacts like I did. You'll be back doing your normal daily activities in 24 hours. Quick, easy, pain-free. Walked in legally blind, walked out, felt like my vision was perfect, and felt like it's still perfect over 20 years later. You get that world-class treatment right here in Birmingham with Michelson Laser Vision, national leader in eye surgery for 3 decades. Call 205-969-8100 or visit MichelsonLaserVision.com today. So let's just try to run through some of the personnel, finish up the defensive personnel quickly, because we've talked about Otis up front. We've talked about maybe if Deontay Lawson is that guy, Turner Braswell being able to get to the quarterback. I think you have a really nice luxury on the back end of Malachi Moore being able to move around, Kool-Aid McKinstry being really good at corner, Earl Little having some versatility, maybe Christian Story having some versatility. There are a lot of different guys that are going to be able to play different places, and then Caleb Downs comes in as a freshman. He can probably help out on that side of the ball as well.
Yeah, probably so, and that's a position you can play early. If you need it, you probably can. The first line of protection for your defense, a great back end. And you know that you might have it with a true freshman back there. Well, if the first line of protection of your home is Yellowhammer Roofing. That's the roof. Whether it's a roof replacement or a repair, they're going to get you taken care of. And everyone's licensed and insured. Everyone steps foot on your property is backed up by Yellowhammer. Locally owned and operated. And for additional peace of mind, you get a 5-year workmanship warranty. So I know that I'm taken care of for the first 5 years because they own my roof for the first 5 years. So trust our hometown professional team in Yellowhammer Roofing. Call them for your free assessment, 855-217-8887, or go online at yellowhammerroofing.com.
S&P Top 25 is out. Where does Bama fall there?
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.